episode Bible study series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and we are so close to the end.
We've got
this week and one more week, and
yeah, we're done with Deuteronomy.
Yeah, concludes the books of Moses, right?
So last week we picked up with God telling the Israelites, if they stay true to his commandments, here's what I'm going to give you.
Yeah.
Just leave that there. He also lists what
it was such a short part of the chapter.
Yeah, it really was. He also lists what he'll do if they disobey, and that was
the long part of the chapter.
Moses,
which is actually sort of cool because the short part is if you obey, you get blessed. The long part is little bits at a time.
It gets more and more.
Right.
Moses again pleads with the Israelites to agree with God because the people actually have a choice if they want to do this or not, and to consistently follow along with the commandments. And we need to remember Moses, he's not going to be entering the promised land, and he's actually going to die here next week.
Yeah, he's going to die next week.
Next week when we talk about it. All right, so chapter 31, Moses addresses the Israelites, and he's 120 years old at this time, and God told him that he wasn't going to allow him to cross over into the promised land, but God tells him that God is going to cross over first, and he's going to take care of the enemies, just like he did the Amorites.
Yep.
And Moses tells the people, be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. And he'll use that phrase more and more, especially when referring to Joshua. And it shows up in the book of Joshua a ton in there. Moses then calls out Joshua in the presence of Israel and tells him to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's setting up the next guy.
Yeah. Which is interesting because this was going to be the anomaly. God's ultimate plan was that God would lead Israel through the priests. So Moses had a successor, but that was for war. That was to conquer Canaan. God never selected a single successor for Joshua. This wasn't supposed to keep happening, right? After Joshua was done, the book of Judges never should have happened. It should have just been God and the priests, and everything would be fine because they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do.
A lot of ifs.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Moses also writes down the law and he gives it to the priests and the elders, which is a little odd, right? You'd think, why wouldn't the priests have the law? Well, the law is what Moses wrote. So, so writing it down makes sense. And God gave it to him. Then they were to read the law to the whole nation once at the end of each 7 years, at the same time when the debts are forgiven. Mm-hmm. Men, women, and children, as well as resident foreigners, needed to hear it. And they needed to hear the law being read so that they could fear the Lord appropriately.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like any country, right? Can you quote our U.S. Constitution?
No.
And you certainly can't quote the entire law of the United States, you know, the U.S. code, right?
Right.
Here, this was their constitution. This was their law code. And so they needed to be reminded of these laws and everything on a regular basis.
Right. In 7 years, a lot happens.
That's still a lot. Right. Yeah. That's still really far apart if you think about it. Yeah.
Right, so God again talks to Moses and tells him that his death is near, and he asks him to summon Joshua and present himself or themselves so that they can be commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord appears in the tent as a pillar of a cloud, and he stood above the door, and God tells Moses that after he dies, people are going to begin to prostitute themselves with the foreign gods of the land. Right. And this is the exact same thing that Moses and God told them not to do.
Right.
but he says they will reject God. They will break the covenant. And God is going to release his anger. His anger is going to erupt. And he's going to abandon them and hide his face until they are devoured.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this isn't like 2 weeks later. Right. This is a long time later.
Yeah.
But there's going to be many disasters, many distresses that will happen enough that they'll go, Where did our God go?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll actually see that over the next 700 or 800 years, which encompasses, you know, a good chunk of the Old Testament. from Moses to the Assyrian captivity of the northern tribes, and then another 100 years after that to the Babylonian captivity of the southern tribes,
Which is the final.
That's it, you know. But fortunately, and I know we're in chapter 31, but in the last chapter we have that great promise, chapter 30, where God said, "No matter where your people are scattered,
I'll bring them back home."
So that's still that promise that even though God knows this is going to happen, tells them this is going to happen, he also tells them the end result of that is that he still has promises he has to keep.
Right. So God tells Moses to write down a song and teach it to the Israelites. And this song is going to be God's witness against the Israelites and their children. Mm-hmm. So that they'll know and understand why all this happened. Yes?
I mean, we're going to go through this song, and it's just like, it's a funeral dirge. It is. It's a funeral. I mean, like, it's a preemptive funeral dirge. I know you're going to disobey, so let's write a song about your disobedience that you haven't even done yet.
Exactly.
Because it's so firm, guaranteed that it's going to happen.
Right.
That he has Moses write a song.
But the children is going to be, what did we do wrong? Why is it so bad? You know,
Yeah. Well, this is why. By the way, this is a good reminder of the power of music, right?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just here, write a poem, or here, give another law. It's write a song, put it to music, get it in their minds so that they're humming this as they're walking down the road. It's like, oh yeah, that song again, right? That just reminds them. And from a church standpoint, like here at Oak Tree, this is why we sing the songs we do. We choose the songs that we choose because you don't want to sing something you wouldn't teach that you don't believe. Right. So the two need to match up. And here...
And the songs do stay with people.
And they do.
For the week.
Yeah.
For a period of time.
And so here, how long were they supposed to sing this song? 700 or 800 years or more, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, really powerful. Really powerful.
So Moses wrote down the song, Joshua was commissioned, and the law that Moses wrote down was given to the priests, was placed beside the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. and Moses tells him, you're going to rebel, you're stubborn, I've seen it while I've been living with you, and after I die, you're going to even be worse, mm-hmm. and disaster is coming. Yeah. So gather the tribal elders and officials so I can speak to them directly. And then Moses recited the words to the assembly.
Yeah.
So the words show up in chapter 32. I am not going to sing it because I've been asked not to sing many times.
We don't know what it is, right? So you have to make it up anyway.
Yeah. I'm sure it was very upbeat.
Yeah.
So the song is 43 verses. It can really be divided like into 7 sections. First, praising God for his faithfulness. Second, telling about Israel's unfaithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Verse 5 is interesting. A perverse and deceitful generation, or a perverse and crooked generation. It's the same phrase or a similar phrase that Jesus used throughout the Gospels. You are a wicked generation. You're a perverse generation. It's like he's just quoting Moses. I wonder if Deuteronomy was also what Jesus quoted during his temptation. All three of those, the three that we have recorded, all three of them are quoted from Deuteronomy.
Right.
So I'm wondering if maybe Deuteronomy was, maybe Jesus' favorite, one of his favorite sections of scripture, because he seems to quote it or at least refer to it a lot. There's also a connection to Moses that I'm going to make a little bit later that may have something to do with that as well.
Okay. The third section goes back in time when God picks Israel, right? It's at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part in there about dividing the nations.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
So verse 8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided up mankind, probably Genesis 10, the Table of Nations, Tower of Babel, right? The languages, they split up. And so now we have these groups of people that used to be one together. Paul picks up on this in Acts 17, where he says God scattered the people, or God, you know, created their, put them in designated places. So there is this idea, at least in Judaism, that God has set up the nations in some kind of specific way. But then it says, when he divided up mankind, set the boundaries of the people according to the number of. Now, the next phrase is going to change depending on what translation you're reading, whether it's based on the Hebrew text, on the Greek translation, or like the NET here is a little bit of a of an interpretation. So the New English translation says, according to the number of the heavenly assembly. The Hebrew text says, according to the the number of the sons of Israel, or the sons of God. And the Greek translation translates that as the angels of God, because that's what the sons of God in Genesis and Job are, sons of God. So then this says the heavenly assembly, taking it from the angels idea. So the question is, did God set up the Gentile nations and all the nations based on something within Israel, the sons of God being Israel, or based on the angelic realm?
Right.
Which actually makes a little bit of sense, right? Because we see in Daniel that, you know, the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece and the prince, so there are angels, both good and bad, that seem to have a lot of influence in right. world governments and everything.
Right. Well, even under Moses, there's a temple that he is asked to build, and it's a representation of what's
from heaven, right? Heaven. Yeah. So there's a lot of debate over that. There's a lot of different commentaries. I highly recommend, you know, reading some stuff, and I'm, you know, happy to talk with anyone who wants more information. But it's an interesting phrase that how God says that he divided up the boundaries and the nations, and what was the thing that, what was the structure that he did that based on? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's in verse eight there. Probably the you know, most controversial out of, you know, most of Deuteronomy, actually. Yeah.
So we're walking through the song, and we come to the next section where it says God favored Israel, and up until now, everything's good, and now everything's bad. After this, everything's going to be bad.
Yeah.
So God favored Israel, and what did Israel do? They deserted to God who made them.
Yeah.
And then because of their rebellion, God punishes them. And then as the punishments increased, and you kind of brought this up that, you know, it's a slap on the wrist, and then it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
God took them out of their land using Assyria and Babylon. Those aren't mentioned in the song, but, you know, God's going to take them out of the land.
Yeah.
And then God declares his supremacy over other gods
with
small g.
Yeah. And that's it's really interesting because on the one hand, we know that there really are no other gods, at least, you know, that match, you know, that are equal to God. But on the other hand, yeah, there are other gods. There are demon gods, which is, you know, all of these pagan nations worshipped. Right. Even Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, we know that there's not any other god in this world, and yet there are, right? You know, so it really depends on a perspective there.
So Moses and Joshua recited the words of the song to the people. When finished, Moses says, hey, guys, you need to remember these words. You must command your children to observe the words in the law. This is not a suggestion. This is your life.
Right.
You know, it's a big deal. And you know, he knows it's futile.
Yeah.
But, you know, he needs to do it anyways.
Yeah, he really has to.
So Moses was then told to go up. Onto a mountain, Mount Nebo, and he could look at the land of Canaan, which is pretty cool and graceful of God for him to do this. Moses is going to end up dying on this mountain, and he's going to join his deceased ancestors. And Deuteronomy also says, you know, this is just like his brother Aaron. that died on Mount Hor and mm-hmm. joined his ancestors. And God said, both of you rebelled against me by not showing proper respect.
Yeah, and let's remember, let's just remind ourselves what it was that Moses did. There were two different times that lots of times that the people complained about, you know, not having any right. water, right? And the first time God told Moses, you know, strike this rock and, you know, water will come out. And Moses did, you know, with his staff, he hit the rock, you know, and God miraculously made water. Another time, people were complaining about water, and God said to Moses, speak to this rock and I will make water come out. But Moses was so frustrated that but he didn't just speak to it. He hit it again, which is like, well, okay, he hit it. He spoke to it, whatever. It doesn't matter. But he hit it again and he said, must we make water come out of this rock for you? Must we provide water for you?
Right. Putting himself on a different level.
God is like, you and whom? Right. So he disobeys because he strikes it after God said, speak to it. And he says, we are the ones. And God said, that right there, you have a higher standard because you're a leader and you did not respect me properly. You did not give me the glory.
In front of the nation,
you took it. You took some of this for yourself. And God's glory is something that he refuses to share. And for that reason, Moses was prohibited from entering the land. Yeah. It seems way too strict, but like you said, he's in front of the nation. He's the leader of the nation.
And also, God didn't kick him out. God didn't kill him. He is still the leader of the nation. God is still working through Moses. Moses still has the respect of the nation.
Yeah.
You know, none of that got taken away from him.
Yeah. Yeah. But he doesn't get to go in.
Right.
So.
Right. And that's where we end up today. So we have one more week left, like you said, kind of wrapping things up in Deuteronomy.
Yeah, just a couple of chapters.
Yeah.
So, well, hopefully you found this interesting. A couple of little things in there that, you know, maybe you miss. There are a couple things we specifically did not mention in the song that if you find them, they're like little Easter eggs. If you find them, we'd love to hear that you found them. So pay attention. And come up with some things that maybe you didn't know was in the book of Deuteronomy. So until then, make sure that you subscribe and follow and do all the things. Share this with the people that you think would find this interesting and helpful as well. And we will come back next time and finish the book of Deuteronomy.